Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, good to be with you. Thanks so much for stopping by this afternoon. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, still minus one Matt Kolsky this afternoon. Under the weather? Unlikely. Guy's probably been in Puerto Vallarta since last Friday or something like that.
Wouldn't surprise me. He's a fraud.
Be a strong move if you think about it. But, man, it's a wrong week to take off if you are feeling good, because this is one of the best weeks of sports talk radio you're going to find. 49ers and Packers play a little something called the NFC title game. There's an AFC title game, which I heard also matters into the equation of who reaches the Super Bowl. We'll explore that a little bit later on. Only two guests in the 4 hours that we have for you today, but they're big enough to where that's kind of all we need. It's like the end of the jerk. I need this paddle game. I need this remote control and this chair, and that's all I need. Kevin Harlan today joins us at 3:20. Nick Wright is going to join us at 5 o'clock. We got a Tuesday trifecta for you coming up a little bit later on. Kevin Harlan's one of the hardest working men in show business, Ray. Seriously, that guy is behind a microphone, stepping on or off an airplane every day of the week.
Oh, it's the price he pays for being good. If he didn't want to do that, he'd suck more.
You're right about that. He doesn't suck at all. He is one of the best in the business. Unfortunately, Kevin's, I believe, career path is going to pull him into the Bay Area and then right back out of it. Unfortunately for him, he is not going to be doing the NFC title game. He has the Westwood One call of the AFC title game. So we'll be talking to Kevin about the Packers, though, a team that he knows very, very well. Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, coaching matchup there to explore. We're going to get into that today. I saw that we have some all-rookie team honors being handed out. We will certainly circle who did a nice job. We can circle Nick Bosa's name twice, I can promise you that. We got an awful lot to get going. Oh, hey, next year's Super Bowl odds are out. You want to go crazy? You want to just skip right over this Super Bowl, start giving odds on next year's Super Bowl? We could do that too. 49ers today, going to be a huge, huge part of the conversation. Obviously, that's what happens when you're in the NFC title game. When I cover a team that's doing something, my phone rings. I was talking to Albie today, Ray. My life is basically divvied up into 20-minute increments. Is it 20 minutes that I can use to prep on this show? Is there 20 minutes that I could use to go on someone else's show to talk about the game that's coming up? I've been doing interviews all over radio stations, and today I pissed off everybody in the state of Wisconsin.
Good for you.
I thought
it's nice
so
to
too.
Have a hobby.
Yeah. I pissed off everybody in Wisconsin today, or at least in the greater listening area of the Milwaukee metropolitan. Whoever could get the Bill Michaels show, I pissed you off today if you're a Packers fan and you heard me, because I was asked a question and it gave me a rare opportunity to sound cockier than I really am.
Go ahead.
The question was, what would be the 49ers' Achilles heel? I didn't have a good answer. I didn't have a good answer. And the reason why I don't have a good answer isn't because I have supreme confidence that they're an unbeatable force. It's because I've seen just about every major injury a football team could possibly absorb, absorbed very well by the depth of this team. Now, we haven't gone all the way into the deep end of the pool of now you're at a backup quarterback. So, of course, I said, look, if Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, obviously some bets are going to be tweaked. But it's still not an all bets are off formula. It really isn't. And then I came up with the line that has made people call me cocky and a homer, and then they're pissed off. I said the only way the Niners lose this game on Sunday, the only Achilles heel, is if Kyle Shanahan gets locked out of the stadium and can't make it to the sideline to call the game.
Gee, I wonder why that annoyed them. There actually is a way. And it's basically a minus three net turnovers. If they get sloppy with the ball, Green Bay can win because anybody is a pretty good team when they get the ball three extra times.
I wouldn't say that's a Niners Achilles heel as much as it's a football fact.
No, what I'm saying. There's no indication that the 49ers are particularly prone to that, but there's something about playoff games that makes teams sometimes, if they're not in command of the game, get sloppy with the ball. So if you're asking for something short of Kyle Shanahan being locked out of his own stadium, which again, that seems relatively unlikely, or Garoppolo fracturing both ankles, it's minus three in net turnovers. And minus three in net turnovers is way worse than just committing three turnovers. I mean, it means that you've given a good team three extra chances to beat you. And unless, you know, you're so much better than the other team, that will get you beat. I don't know that I'd be surprised if it happens, but it is the way.
I came across sounding cocky because I was just using the evidence in front of us. Evidence in front of us suggests that the Packers are going to be in for a long afternoon if you look at the evidence that we got from the first meeting between these two this season. The Packers have less time to prepare for a game, which they had a week longer than the Niners to prepare for it the last time around. The Niners are a healthier, better, more confident team today than they were when they met the Green Bay Packers last time around. And then I'm just looking at what is happening. If you're telling me that the thing that the Niners do the best is rush the passer, and the thing that the Packers do the worst is protect Aaron Rodgers, how is Aaron Rodgers going to put on the Superman cape if Nick Bosa is throwing David Bakhtiari into his lap all afternoon?
Well, Aaron Jones would have to be very available for a lot of throws, quick throws out of the backfield. That's the only way you negate an advantage like defensive line versus offensive line. You would have to have Aaron Rodgers, who is pretty good at letting time slow down as he sits in the pocket. He would have to become not a different kind of quarterback, but a quarterback who does different things than he normally does. And I think when you take a indisputably great player, even at this stage of his career, and say, we want you to do different stuff now, I think it's a hard ask. Because he is who he is at this point. So either the Green Bay offensive line will need physical help like an extra tight end. They change the way they run their offense, which is to, you know, dump the ball off quickly so that Rodgers stays upright. Or they figure out a way to run the ball so effectively that the 49ers have to slow down their own rush.
Based on results of Dalvin Cook last week, I don't know if you can put a lot of realism into expecting that happening. But here's how the Packers come and spoil the punch for everyone. Like Ray's alluding to, an early turnover, a stolen possession, and now you're down 2 points at home and Levi Stadium is clutching. Outside of a wildly fast Green Bay Packers start, I just don't see it. And I'm really looking at this. I'm trying to maintain. This is without bias. And I said this on the show when I said, I could be a guy named, Mitch Kalinowski calling from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And I'm telling you, the Packers are in an awful lot of trouble going to see this 49ers team. The way that they're built, Ray, straight up, who scared you more? Not just maybe in reality, but on paper. The tougher matchup was Minnesota or Green Bay?
In all honesty, Minnesota.
I agree.
That said, there is one thing to remember about conference football. It's a lot about matchups. And very often, what you saw in the first matchup, you don't see in the second one. There have been 28 examples in this decade of teams who played each other in the regular season and then in the postseason. The team that won the first game is only 16-12, which is not dominant. And you've got two such games like that this weekend. The 49ers boat raced Green Bay the first time, but Tennessee, which was ostensibly the weaker team against Kansas City, won their game 35-32 on a night when Derrick Henry started to become the Derrick Henry we know now. So history, you can dance history any way you want, but if you just look at it as an isolated incident where they didn't play during the regular season, I think you'd have to look at the 49ers as better at nearly every position, with the one difference maybe being their safeties and certainly quarterback. And everywhere else, the 49ers are either even or better.
888-957-9570. Boy wonder, Luka Doncic comes to town tonight. I'm kind of interested in that, but we're not going to spend much time talking about it because the 49ers are hosting the Green Bay Packers in the NFC title game. I don't want you to use revisionist history here, okay? I don't want you to use revisionist history because we know how dominant the 49ers were against Minnesota. What matchup scares you more, the Vikings or the Green Bay Packers? To me, the Vikings were the team that was better built to win the game than the Green Bay Packers are. I got to give Guru full credit. Full credit. I was listening on the way in, and Guru said, to beat the Niners, it's going to take a village. I don't know if the Green Bay Packers got the village. They got a hell of a villager, a couple of villagers, but they don't have a village.
Minnesota didn't have a village either, which is why you got 27-10.
There you go. Well, if they didn't have it and this team doesn't have it.
The only remaining team that has a village, probably Kansas City on the offensive side. Defensively, Tennessee is awfully good, but I think Kansas City is the only team that can beat the 49ers in numbers.
888-957-9570. We got open lines until we're going to say hello to Kevin Harlan, one of the absolute best in the business, Kevin Harlan. He joins us at 3:20. Nick Wright coming up at 5 o'clock, a Tuesday trifecta, waiting for you at 5:30 tonight. 888-957-9570. What scared you more? The Vikings, who you already beat? Or, let's face it, I don't even think anyone here is scared of the Green Bay Packers. People here are scared of Aaron Rodgers found the Superman cape one more time and decided to fly over Metropolis. Short of that, and maybe even with that, I don't know how the Packers are coming out here to win this game. Make it scary, make it a long afternoon. Yeah, I could see that. Win it. I'm just using the evidence in front of me. This is not opinion-based. 888-957-9570. All this brought to you by Nutrisystem for Men. See how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem, and it really is. Fellas, all you got to do is stick with the plan. Follow the plan. Don't deviate from the plan. The plan works. Lose the weight. Eat the food that's good. Order right now at Nutrisystem.com/radio. That's Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. We are just underway. We look forward to you being a part of it. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, Sans Kolsky, who's still under the weather this afternoon here on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
It's great to have you here. Thanks so much for stopping by today. Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto with you this afternoon. No Kolsky, who's still under the weather. It is not with any amount of arrogance or homerism or anything like that that I think the 49ers are going to win this game. And I would even border on saying the word comfortably. I get enough respect for Aaron Rodgers where I won't say it's a comfortable win, but I think it's a Niner win. I really do. And I thought, just to maintain some consistency, I thought that Seattle would have proved the better out. I think that Minnesota was on paper more scary than Green Bay was. So there is consistency in me feeling like this. And then there's also the real question, is Aaron Rodgers who Aaron Rodgers used to be? He's still very, very good, but no one is so superior they override whatever situation they're in. I'm not saying he's in a bad situation. He's in a new one. And I know he's at the end of a new one because they've gone through the first LaFleur season pretty thoroughly here now. But I don't think he's the guy he used to be. And even when, Ray, Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers, all that in a bag of chips, Aaron Rodgers, in the prime time of his career with weapons galore around him, do you realize that a guy who's been to the playoffs 9 times, a third of his playoff trips have ended at the hands of the San Francisco 49ers? Like, the Aaron Rodgers reckoning has never really come home to roost. He said this on draft night.
How disappointed are you that you will not be a 49er?
Not as disappointed as the 49ers will be that they didn't draft me.
And look, there's no doubt. They go back in time. Drafting Aaron Rodgers is the easy call to make. But it's not like Aaron Rodgers is the team, is the reason why they don't do anything in the play. They beat Aaron Rodgers in the postseason more often than not.
But when they did, it's because they had the better team. Aaron Rodgers has not slipped that much, but the team around him has. They used to have running backs you had to worry about. They used to have multiple wide receivers. They had a better defense than what they have now. Aaron Rodgers is in some ways like Russell Wilson, beating teams basically on muscle memory and know-how. And anybody who wants to undersell that, you know, gets to be a fool. I mean, they won 13 games somehow. But when you play a team that is probably more talented than you in more places than you're more talented than them, you're at a disadvantage no matter who you are. I mean, the New England Patriots are a living example of that this year. No team has beaten the last two decades to death like they have. But this was the year they had no weapons around Tom Brady. So, of course, everybody asks, well, what's wrong with Brady? Well, that's not the question. The question is, what's wrong with the Patriots? And the answer to that is, they don't have enough people. And I think with the Packers, it's a slightly less benign version of the same question. They don't have enough people. I think if the Patriots and Packers played, even allowing for the vast difference in coaching acumen, I think the Packers would be better, and I think the Packers would win. But that's not the equation. The equation is, are the Packers good enough to beat this 49er team away from home? And I honestly don't see it either. I think there's a possibility, but it's a pretty thin one. And a lot of things have to go right for them, and very few things go wrong for them to pull this off. Like I said, +3 in turnovers. That's a football thing. That's not necessarily a strength versus strength thing. But the best way to negate strength is to say, well, you're going to have to do that without the ball.
The question on the text line is, what if we get the Aaron Rodgers of old? Well, I think Ray was just trying to tell you that this might be the Aaron Rodgers of old, but it ain't the Green Bay Packers of old. Like, Aaron Rodgers and that team plane is going to land at SFO, and Aaron Rodgers is going to get off said Packer team plane. You know who ain't following him? Randall Cobb. And, you know, Donald Driver is not getting off that plane. Jordy Nelson's not getting off that plane. Look at Greg Jennings. Look at him with a broken leg. It's an internet thing. But no, Greg Jennings isn't getting off that plane. Mike McCarthy's not getting off that plane unless you're playing the Dallas Cowboys next year.
Yeah. No, it's Davante Adams is a guy who must be minded.
He's good.
Aaron Jones is a guy you don't leave alone.
Very good.
But they can't spread the ball across the field and make you guard a lot of people. The 49ers found out when George Kittle, you know, was out in those two games that they were, you know, an emerging Debo Samuel, and you can't be sure about the running game. That's why they ended up losing to Seattle. I mean, it's you take weapons away, you hurt a quarterback's chances to compete. So for Aaron Rodgers to be peak Aaron Rodgers, he needs to get games from a lot of guys around him. And I would not minimize the importance of that offensive line because they have to keep him upright.
888-957-9570 is the number. This is Zeke in San Jose. Hello, Zeke.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, so I have all the confidence in the world. I'm a diehard Niner fan, and all the confidence in the Niner team to beat Green Bay. But my one concern, and it's kind of dumb to bring back old games, but the game that comes to mind is the Falcons game, where everybody thought earlier in the season the Niners were just going to roll over Falcons. Falcons came out, and they did what they did. So my question is in your guys' view, is Aaron Rodgers better than Matt Ryan as the quarterback?
Well, yeah, you know what? I think, Zeke, more than anything else, what led the Niners to lose that game was the sequence of games. And look, all due respect to the Atlanta Falcons, who came in here and won. I mean, they got better as the year went along and had a couple of decent Sundays in them. The 49ers got caught looking maybe ahead or just looking to take a breath, and maybe it caught up with them that day. If you get trapped gamed in the playoffs, you deserve to die right there, you dog.
But that was a game in which the Falcons, who had been improving steadily, got an extraordinary game out of the best wide receiver in football. And what the Falcons did was say, he's the guy. He's the guy today. Everybody else, you chip in what you can, but Julio Jones gives us the best chance to beat these guys. And they threw at him a lot. He went for 210. He had two touchdowns. And the 49ers, they had Kittle and nothing else.
And it's hard to stay frosty all those weeks in a row. Remember, that game followed the maybe most emotional regular season win this team's had in 3 years in New Orleans. That was the Baltimore game. And the game before that was the Green Bay Packers game. Yeah. So they had been playing, you know, huge, huge dividend football for 3 weeks in a row. And it's just hard to stay angry at all times unless you're Richard Sherman.
Well, even Richard Sherman, you know, I mean, sometimes you just are flat.
Who did not play in that game, by the way, if you're wondering why Julio went off.
Yeah, and, well, that's part of it. Julio's going off against anybody, but he's not going off for 13 and 134 and two scores if Richard Sherman is on him the whole time. That said, the Falcons were getting better, and it's hard to go 14-2 or 13-3 because those three means 3 weeks in which you weren't good enough. And, you know, you don't always beat the team you're better than. So, you know, it's, yes, all those things were true, but the Falcons went out and won the game. I mean, they didn't luck into it. They didn't back into it. They won the game outright. And one of the things that Kyle Shanahan has said this week that rings truest of all is there's nothing more meaningless than the game before. And he's right. I mean, unless you want to bet the 49ers and give 29, and I don't see anybody wanting to do that, this game figures to be closer.
I would agree.
And if it's closer, stuff can happen.
Especially with a quarterback like that. But I don't feel like it's
a lot of things have to go right. I know what you're
right. You know exactly what I'm about to say.
Yeah, like, it's just, I mean, it could go from, you know, 37-8 to 31-21. But if it can be 31-21, it can be 24-21 the other way. That's the point is, The margin for error will shrink because I don't believe that Green Bay is going to be as bad as they were again. That said, if you're telling me who I have to pick on my personal money line, I'm taking the team at home with more weapons.
More weapons, more talent, more time, more rest everywhere around. So Albie and Nash are looking for the radio interview I did. They're editing a couple things, and we'll play that coming up next segment. What did I say on Wisconsin
Radio?
Wait a minute,
I have to listen to you talking to other people,
too? Did I say on Wisconsin Radio that pissed off the entire state of Wisconsin? I'd kind of like to find out, too, because I really did think. Here's the thing. Nobody wanted to hear the truth. Period. I mean, like, nobody wants to hear the truth. And the truth is that it's really good that you have Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers, because you're going to need every freaking dripping ounce of his Hall of Fame talent to even be in this game, much less win it. That's where I think these two teams stand. Don't let 13-3 attached to both of them make you think that you're looking at similar teams, similar products. They're dissimilar in all the ways that matter in handicapping a football game. All the ways. More so than the 49ers were dissimilar than the Vikings, who was almost their carbon copy mirror image.
It's interesting, and I know this is not dispositive of anything, but Vegas looked at this game and said, on a neutral field, the 49ers are 4.5 better. Even if you say that home field is only worth 3, they're basically saying, yes, the 49ers are a better team. If you want to bet straight up, that's how you should bet. I mean, it's also true in Kansas City, where they're looking at a team that beat them in the first time they met. You know, it just that's how you have to look at this. Who's got more weapons and more ways to display those weapons? And I think that's the one difference between the two. There's no reason why you, as a 49er fan, should say Aaron Rodgers is done, unless you want to be stupid. Aaron Rodgers is as good a quarterback as you've ever seen. He's in a conversation with Joe Montana. That's how good he is. But this team, against the team they're playing, is simply not as good. They could become as good on Sunday, but it would be against the run of play.
888-957-9570. And like you said, that they're... You know, past performance does not dictate what you're going to get today. The biggest lie in Las Vegas was when you walk up to the roulette wheel and they have the numbers that hit in the last hour or whatever. And so people tend to lean away from those numbers thinking, well, they won't come up again. There is just as much chance that it will hit any of those lit numbers. Past performance does not dictate what's about to happen in the future. I agree. But man, past performance, knowing the setup of that and how it's not even working any longer in the Packers' favor at all, this feels like an awful lot of 49ers to me on Sunday. Nelson in Santa Clara, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to get you guys' take. If the Niners and the Chiefs make the Super Bowl, who do you guys think that would win? Would it be the Niners' defense or the Kansas City's offense? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Bye. That's the question. The network hosting the Super Bowl is dying to find out. The 49ers Chiefs would be a very interesting matchup between, well, this is the best passing defense we've seen in a real long time, and that's one of the best offenses we've seen in a real long time. Let's have at it. Styles make fights, and we got interesting styles going up against each other. I don't know if there is any real expectation of we shut down the Kansas City Chiefs. What's shutting down the Kansas City Chiefs? You held them to 3 touchdowns. 3 touchdowns is enough to win a lot of football games. So what is shutting down the Chiefs? First of all, we need to define what that is. What is a you shut down the Kansas City Chiefs afternoon look like offensively? What is that? What does that mean?
I would say roughly
17
31.
Points. Okay.
I mean, anything below 31.
You shut them down.
Yeah. Or you made them value neutral offensively. That's how good they are.
I think
the question that has to be answered if you want to pursue who's better is, do you think the San Francisco 49ers can score 34 against the Chiefs? Which means you have to be almost at the top of your game defensively and still be at the top of your game offensively. That makes a great fight.
The Chiefs have a defense that will invite your offense to be at the top of its game offensively, though. And that's where I think the matchup and the real drama falls apart a little bit. I mean, sure, Patrick Mahomes can go full-on buck wild, 5 touchdowns and a quarter on you. Maybe 5's a lot. 4, though, I just saw it happen. I saw it happen twice this year, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to do it over one quarter. He only has to do it over 4. And I think it's really hard to, without tackling him very many times to get him stopped. I mean, it's just they are a ridiculously powerful team offensively. And the interesting thing is when you look at them, the 49ers and Chiefs gave up about the same number of points. And the 49ers scored more points than the Chiefs
did. Yeah, they scored more points.
But the electric nature of what the Chiefs can do is they can put it on you in bursts that can just break your spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, we just saw that Sunday with Houston.
It's one of the greatest flip-the-table games in the history of the sport of professional football.
Yeah, the game turned when a coach did the perfectly reasonable thing of taking his lead from 21 to 24. Under most circumstances, kicking a field goal with a 21-point lead is not a bad idea. But it was a terrible idea then against those guys because they've shown you what they can do given just a little bit of time. And that's the thing that I'm not sure even the 49ers can do, is avoid that one burst when Kansas City can do whatever it wants.
888-957-9570. Hopefully there's plenty of time. Hopefully, how about this? Hopefully there's 2 weeks to worry about Kansas City. We'll get to them coming up. Or,
well, there'll either be 2 weeks or no weeks.
Yeah, or really, if you're the Niners and you don't care about sexy Super Bowl, you just want a Lombardi trophy? I think you'd take, I mean, if you're just ordering up opponent, I think you would have ordered the Minnesota Vikings. Then I think you would have ordered the Green Bay Packers, given the options. And then I think you absolutely ordered the Tennessee Titans. As unbelievable as they've been, as one-man Heisman Trophy Army Derrick Henry looks like, again, it takes more than one man to beat the Niners. It takes a village. I don't know if Tennessee's got the right village.
I think they're in, you're looking at an outlier at the top of his game. That's sufficiently villagey for me. I would give Tennessee a counterpuncher's chance. If I had to rank the four teams right now, 49ers, Chiefs, Titans, Packers.
I would agree. That's exact the same order. Same order.
And I just think because Derrick Henry has run against good defenses and bad ones and run with the same facility against all of them, I could easily see that being a difficult handicap.
Right. I'm all done doubting what they might do because I've seen them do things that were very easy to say that ain't going to happen. Mike Vrabel's first two playoff wins have come over Bill Belichick and John Harbaugh. They go and beat Andy Reid. There's nothing that might not happen in the Super Bowl. Like that, he's removed an awful lot of the questions.
Yeah, I mean the only thing that could possibly happen is that Henry wears down. That's not the way I would bet. But the truth is, he is their offense now. I mean, for a while it was Ryan Tannehill, but then all of a sudden, they started giving the ball to Henry more and more. And his first real huge gash game was against Kansas City. And he hasn't stopped since.
888-957-9570. Glenn Ellen, what's going on?
Hey, Damon, how are you this afternoon?
Very well, thank you.
Now, in case we're not worrying enough about the Packers, in 1981, the 49ers beat the Cowboys 45-14. And it was all they could do to beat them by 1 point in January. And by the way, in that game, Joe Montana threw three interceptions and fumbled the ball once. No one says, boy, he was a bad quarterback. Oh, terrible, because he threw a ball that Dwight Clark had to jump as high as he could to catch in the fourth quarter.
Well, and this is exactly the point that Ray brought up at the top of the hour, where he said, if you're looking, you know, what's the thing that is your equalizer? Three turnovers. Three turnovers was an equalizer for Joe Montana, for goodness sakes. It put a team that they were vastly superior right in the middle of, oh, my God, we got our handfuls today. And yeah, protect the ball. Don't be sloppy. Be who you are. Defense fires on the Pistons, I think are going to fire in the way that they're going to fire. Nothing wacky happens. Unless wackiness rules the day, I like the Niners. What the hell did I say on Green Bay Radio, the pissed off all of Wisconsin? We'll find out next. Make sure you stay tuned. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. No Matt Kolsky today. Hopefully he's feeling better. He'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, we got you, we got me. And in about a half an hour from now, we're going to say hello to Kevin Harlan. Up high, down hard, Kevin Harlan. He's joining us. Nick Wright's going to join us a little bit later on. And it's a Tuesday, which means we got a trifecta for you. Don't you go anywhere. Damon Ratto and Kolsky brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, so what did I do? What did I say that pissed off Wisconsin so much? I mean, it's really funny. You go through my mentions. That interview you just did with Damon Bruce with Bad Radio, what an arrogant, pompous. FIB? What's FIB stand for? I don't know. We probably don't want to say on the air. And then it's funny. You know, he's like, people, I'll admit the Packers are definite underdogs. What an SF homer. What a terrible guest. What a da-da-da-da. What an a-hole. What a no objectivity. All right, what did I say? This is me on the Bill Michaels show this afternoon in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Again, he asked me the question. I answered it.
Is there an Achilles heel to this 49ers team?
An Achilles heel? Like, wound them there and they're dead, done for, over and done? I don't know if it's that simple, because they got a lot of functioning pieces, and it takes more than one piece. Obviously, you start a quarterback. If Garoppolo were to fall, you would think that they would be in quite a bit of trouble. You know, if you're telling me that C.J. Beathard had to come on in and get you through it, or you know, Nick Mullins, I could it happen? Yeah. So if it's Achilles heel, you know, injury X means you're dead. I don't think there is that. How about this? The Achilles heel is if Kyle Shanahan forgets his keys and can't get into Levi Stadium that day. That would be the Achilles heel.
I mean, was that the most arrogant, completely homerific statement you've ever heard, or am I kind of right about that?
Maybe they knew you ahead of time and made these comments before.
I guess.
I mean,
my reputation precedes me.
Yeah. No, I think. Do you have more?
No, that's it. That's it. That's all I got.
No, basically, fans want to hear what they want to hear, to the point where if they don't hear it, they think you're stupid. It is the difference between now and never. Because fans have always been like that. If you had gone on the radio and said, Aaron Rodgers is so good, it doesn't matter that the 49ers are better. The Packers win because God wants Aaron Rodgers to win. Most Packer fans would take umbrage at the middle part of that sentence. Well, what do you mean the 49ers are better everywhere else? They want to hear what they want to hear. And if somebody from Milwaukee came on this station and said what they believe, they'd get the same grief. Fans, in that way, you know, true believers are the most obnoxious people in the world. They're the people you avoid, even if it means you have to sell your home and emigrate to another country, because they don't want to hear what you have to say. They want you to hear what they have to say. And if they ask you a question, it's to see if you'll give them the answer they want without them prompting you to give the answer they
right,
want.
Right. Yeah. Hand me the cue cards if you just want me to read.
Yeah, no, it just, you asked for it when you talked to them.
888
That's what I would say.
You're right. 888-957-9570. FIB stands for freaking Illinois bastard. Okay, it happens.
Well, they've got your home state down.
Yeah. Nothing will top the time you pissed off Cavs radio before the 2018 finals. That was a good time. That really was a good time, man. I forgot about that. But was I arrogant or was I historically accurate? I believe I was historically accurate about how good that team was. Now, I'm not saying we're looking at a team that's going to go to 5 Lombardi Trophy opportunities in a row here. It's not quite how football works, but I think the 49ers are better in every conceivable way than the Green Bay Packers, from the top of the organization to the bottom. Here are the two places where the Packers have a clear advantage, at quarterback and at Lambeau Field. The game's not at Lambeau Field. So I'll take all the other advantages that the 49ers have.
Well, it's supposed to rain a little bit on Sunday. There is that.
It's funny that radio stations are calling Damon about the Niners. All he did was rip the team for years about turkey on the 50. I was right then, too. Your stadium sucked until Sunday afternoon. It's the first day it was ever really good. Congratulations. Took several years. And your football team sucked every single day I told you that it sucked. It wasn't like I was trying to invent a level of how bad they were to meet my story. My story met how bad they were. I mean, come on.
They were under good.
They were under good. 888-957-9570. This is Derek calling from Richmond. What's up, Derek?
My prayers have been answered. I've called the Vatican and asked the Pope, please do not send Russell Wilson to San Francisco.
Good call. I like the sway that you have.
And I'm just looking for the 49ers to win, and I would hate to see them play Kansas City.
You know, let it happen. Bring it on. That's the thing. The field has broken in which a way that I don't think you need to tailor make, like, oh, all right, I want this team, that team. The number one overall seed in the tournament has been bounced. You were the second seed in the tournament, which means it's now yours to lose. That's how that works. The 49ers should win the Super Bowl, period, end of story, write it down. It's the corner they've painted themselves into. It's not my opinion. It's not what I think might happen. It's what the rules of laws of nature and football all spit out of the equation. The Niners are the best team left in this and should win the Super Bowl. And I'm thinking about the team that they have to play or either opponent that might come out of the other game. That's not arrogance. That's doing some handicapping, looking at it, and just thinking.
It's an opinion.
It's a strong opinion, but it's an opinion based in fact and evidence. It's not like an opinion of a Raiders fan. Well, I think we're going to the playoffs this year. Well, that's an opinion. This is educated guessing.
It's guessing based on the fact that it's one of the best offensive and defensive teams in the league at the same time.
Right. That's all.
Yeah, so.
Like, I got that on my side. Not arrogance, right?
Yeah, I mean, you brought up the Raiders, and I'm going to say this because it's sort of been running around the empty cavern of my head. It's interesting that in a year in which the Raiders could not get traction, in their last season here, it's almost as though the 49ers on the verge of going to the Super Bowl is almost like dumping salt on the ground and just saying, you'll never remember them again.
Oh, they're
dead. I know that's not true for true believers of the Raiders who believe in the Raiders no matter where they play, because the Raiders have offered them a multiplicity of places where they've existed. But it's remarkable to me in a weird way how quickly people sort of, in general, not true Raider fans, but in general, how people just sort of walked away from them because they were leaving. And now that they're actually gone, except for when they go to Napa, the 49ers are suddenly behaving like the 49ers of 35 years ago.
They are going to find so little traction in their future in Napa that I promise you they move their spring training site quickly. Number one, there's got to be cheaper options than Napa for an historically cheap franchise. And number two, they don't live here no more. You ain't welcome here. The footprint that you think you have will evaporate faster than the puddle you step through.
But training camp doesn't matter in terms of footprints, because otherwise the Cowboys would work out in Dallas. Instead, they work out in Thousand Oaks. And Napa is not that expensive for them because they're going to the same place for a long time, and I'm sure they've cut long-term deals.
Locked in a rate.
Very friendly. Yeah, I think that they could practice in Napa forever. And because it's not about the footprint anymore, they are now Las Vegas's team. They're not Las Vegas's most important team, not yet. They have to do something first. But they could have training camp in Napa for all eternity, but they are not here anymore, any more than the Cowboys belong to Thousand Oaks.
888-957-9570. Rodney calling from Oak Grove wants to talk about Lynch and Shanahan. What's up, Rodney?
How's it going? Hey, I'm glad I can listen to you guys on 1320 over at AM. I'm glad to hear you guys on the radio now.
Thank you very much. We're thrilled to be on up in Sacramento.
Yeah. I just want to know, Lynch is the GM and Shanahan's the coach. I'd like to know what the dynamics are. Like, who has the call, the final call on that team? Because I know when Trent Baalke was there and Jim Harbaugh, they were butting heads with each other. I want to know if you see that in the future with those two guys. Thanks for the call, buddy. Bye.
Let's see how everyone handles success and ultimate success, if that indeed is where this year goes. That would be a little bit of a game changer in the equation. But I think we got smart guys who do work well together, and the reason that one of the reasons that they do work so well together, Ray, is that the hierarchy is clearly established. Kyle Shanahan's got all finals decisions.
Yeah, he's the tiebreaker. And that's the one question that always has to be settled in all these, especially now, is football more than any other sport. Who's got the tiebreaker? And in some places, it's the coach. Some places, it's the general manager. And in a few really daffy places, it's the owner. It's why Cleveland will never win. And Baker Mayfield needs to sharpen a spoon and tunnel out of there as quickly as possible if he plans to have a long and successful NFL career. You can't win with the structure that the Browns have set up. The 49ers have set up a simple structure in that Kyle Shanahan says what he would like to have. John Lynch does the phone calls and the heavy lifting, goes back to Kyle Shanahan and says, this is the best I can get you. And then Kyle Shanahan could say, yeah, let's do that or let's not do that. Will they argue with each other from time to time? I hope to God they do. I mean, that's how those relationships are supposed to work.
Creative tension is good.
Well, it's not creative tension as much as it is you want to feel that an opposite opinion will at least be heard. And sometimes you'll press your opinion. But ultimately, we all know how this ends up. It's that Shanahan gets to have last say, and there is nobody looking over his shoulder except Jed York, who's given him so much time and money. And now with this year, I wouldn't be surprised if they extended that contract out some more so that, that continues not in perpetuity, but until they do get sick of each other. And by that, I mean Jed and Kyle.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. Welcome to your 3 o'clock hour.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.